If you want to turn your Bibles tonight to 2 Kings chapter 9, we're going to be around there about verse 17, 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 17. While you're turning there, it's good to see everybody out and everybody that's listening online. We appreciate you, and we hope that you get some good out of this message tonight that God's given us. In 2 Kings chapter 9, I want to kind of back up just a little bit in verse number 8. I'm not going to read everything for sake of time, but the Bible's talking about here in 2 Kings in chapter 8 and verse number 9. The Bible talks about Joram, and he was a son of Ahab and Jezebel. We understand who them was. We remember who these people are. Well, anyway, in chapter 9, the Bible talks about Jehu, and Ezekiel had, I'm getting all flustered here, but I need to stay with my paper. Joram, the son of Abraham, is down at Jezreel after being wounded in battle there in chapter 8. He'd been having a battle with Hazael, the king of Syria, and he was wounded, and he went back to Jezreel, and Ahaziah also had come down there to Jezreel to meet with him and to see him there because he was wounded. And the Bible says there in chapter 8 that Ahaziah, he was Ahab's son-in-law. And so they're all down there at Jezreel, and this is where Jezebel's hanging out. Okay, she's down there. You got Joram, and you got Ahaziah, and they're all hanging out down there at Jezreel. So that gives you a little bit of a background. And then it starts off in chapter 9 there. The Bible says that Elisha had sent one of the children of the prophets with a box of oil. And he wanted him to go to Jehu, and he wanted to anoint him king. And he sends him down there with this box of oil. He goes in there. Jehu's there with some of the other captains, and he says, "I've got a need of you, and we need you to come into the other room." And he takes Joram in there, and he anoints him with oil, and he said, "The Lord has made you the king over Israel." And he told him also that he wants, you know, he kind of told him that Joram and the house of Ahab and all of the house of Ahab was to be destroyed, and that and Jezebel and all that bunch, and they're going to supposed to be wiped out. And then he leaves out of there. Well, then we have Jehu. He goes back into the captains and the people, the bunch that he was with there, and they said, "What's this madman? This guy, what that guy, kind of a nutty acting feller. What do you want? What do you come in here about?" And he tells all the rest of them that what he'd said to them. He said, "He's anointed me king." Well, they went ahead and they set him up, and they said, "We're behind you," and they followed him, and they come on down there, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 17 of chapter 9 as they're coming in to Jezreel. And the Bible says, "And there stood a watchman on the tower of Jezreel, and he spied the company of Jehu as he came. And he said, 'I see the company, see a company.' And Joram said, 'Take a horseman and send it to meet them, and let them say, is it peace?' So there went out one on horseback to meet him and said, 'Thus says the king, is it peace?' And Jehu said, 'What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me.' And the watchman told, saying, 'The messenger came unto them, but he cometh not again.' Then he sent out a second one on horseback, and he said unto them, and came unto them and said, 'Thus saith the king, is it peace?' And Jehu answered, 'What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me.' And the watchman told, saying, and he came even unto them, and cameth not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. And Joram said, 'Make ready.' And his chariot was made ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, the king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out against Jehu, and met in the portion of Naboth and Jezreelite. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, 'Is it peace, Jehu?' And he answered, 'What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many.'" Let's pray this evening. Lord, I just ask that you'll be with us tonight as we try to preach your word, God. I pray that you'll help give me clarity of speech, Lord. Help me to say what needs to be said, Lord, in your message. God, I pray, Lord, that your power and blessing will be upon this message, Lord, that you've given us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if we read on down through the rest of the chapter there, the Bible tells us how Jehu smote Joram, shoots him with the bow and arrow. He falls down in his chariot there. They cast him out in Naboth's vineyard there. And then he comes on. They go and they smoke to Ahaziah. And then he comes on into the city where Jezebel's up in the tower all painted up. And he comes in there and he said, who's on my side? And there was two or three eunuchs that looked out the window and he said, throw her down. They cast her down. And we know how the Bible says that the dogs came and they ate her up. And so that's kind of how the story goes there. But tonight I want to talk about the title. I want to title this message is What Hast Thou to Do with Peace? What hast thou to do with peace? We're saying this past year, this year of 2020, we hear it all kinds of people. We hear it all the time. Everybody's saying, well, what's coming up next? This has been a crazy year. There's been all kinds of things that happened and things going on all the time. Turmoil in our country, in our land, and in our workplaces, and just everything turned upside down, and it seems like there is no peace today. We got one thing after the next coming up, and we've had the COVID-19, coronavirus, kung flu, and the China bug, or whatever you want to call it, that's been floating around. And we've had the panic buying. We've had people hoarding up toilet paper and gathering that stuff up by the boatloads. And we've had empty shelves in our stores. Can't go buy a can of beans, hardly, and things like that because of it. We've had murder hornets come into our land. Them things floating around stinging people. Rough son of a gun. I don't like any kind of a wasp, but a murder hornet sounds pretty bad to me. So some kind of a souped up thing. I say shoot them all with gasoline. That'll take care of them. We've had government shutdowns. They've shut down businesses, shut down church houses. They've shut down restaurants, everything you can think of, mandated it. We've had mask ordinances and face coverings. We've had quarantines. We've had civil unrest, peaceful protest with BLM and Antifa, where they go out and burn stuff and riot and things like that, all peaceful-like. We've had people calling to defund the police departments because of them awful cops that's going around killing everybody, how horrible they are. I say just one little thing. I don't care who, if a man with a gun points it at me and says, you need to stop, it's probably a good idea to stop. If they've got a badge and they're in law enforcement and you've done something wrong, you probably need to stop. You know what? You don't keep going. You don't come at them and you sure don't try to whoop one of them. I don't try to whoop somebody that's got a gun in their hand. That's just insane, okay? That's not even make sense at all. But these are people, they're not out there for our bad. They're not out there to harm people. They're out there to protect. That's their job. Okay, and I'm thankful for them. We've had open attacks on our churches, our religious freedoms. We've had socialism and communistic governments versus the freedoms and the republic that this nation was founded on. We've had election fraud. We've had fake news. Then we had some more shutdowns. And there's still more to come. They're wanting to shut down things more and more every day. We've had some more panic buying. Toilet paper's getting short on the shelves again. How many of you just noticed that? They said it on the news. It's got to be true. I haven't been to the store, so I don't know. We've got it at our house. That's all I know. I'm happy about that. You know, I'm going to just say, I'm a pretty big hillbilly. But I do like a few comforts, okay? There's a few things that I do like. We've had people turning in your neighbors for not social distancing. Yep. And more gatherings of more than 10 people. Well, you need to call and tell them that we can't have that next door because, you know, they might be spreading something bad over there. We've had fear passed around and preached around every direction that you can look at. We've had the list that just keeps going on and on and on, and people says, you know what? What are we going to expect? Nothing's going to surprise me at what comes down the road next. And the thing is, you know, every time somebody says, well, did you hear the latest news? You want to say, well, is it peace?
Yeah.
Is it peace?
Yeah.
No. Probably not going to be no peace on that. That's the things that just keeps coming up. We don't get to hear anything that's any good anymore. Everything we hear is evil.
Negative
continually.
Yeah.
That's right. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 51, I think this may be the verse for the year. Jesus said, suppose you that I'm come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. And I've seen in our country, in our land, in this, the worldwide, that we've had division. We've had division not only over this pandemic stuff. You know what? You can take it or leave it. You can do what you want to with it. All right? That's what up to you, whatever, how you want to be, that's fine, okay? I'm not aggravated if you want to be afraid of the pandemic or if you're afraid of catching it or if you want to wear a mask. I mean, that's up to you. Help yourself, okay? But there's been a division in this country everywhere you look. When I watched in the election night as the polls came in, I was amazed at the amount of votes that they were saying was there. Pretty well this nation is split one way or another. We're not talking about split on a few policies or one thing here and one thing there or Democratic and Republican. We're talking about a total transformation of this country. And over half, as they said, if you can believe what was said on the news, over half of the country is voting to embrace this change, this communistic, socialistic government that they're asking, that they're begging for it, wanting it to come in. And it amazed me. It blows my mind. But then another thing that kind of gave me a little bit of reality on that is if you look at it, when I was watching some of this on the election night as the things were coming in, and a lot of times I don't, but I was watching, and I'd pull up by state and you could see the counties in the states. And they turned red and they turned blue and you're seeing, oh, this state turned blue. Well, I'm going to look at it. So I pulled it up and the entire state's red except for this one little dot over here and it's blue.
Yeah.
And it just amazes me the amount of the stretch in this country of people that still want to live right. People that still want morals in their government. People that still want to follow God's word and the way that this country was started based in God's word. But then you have a small select area that wants it differently. That want to go to more government control or whatever it may be. And it just amazed me, the division in this country. Not only that, but the division in this country, not just the politics of it, but the division in this country about whether it's right or whether it's wrong to kill a baby in the womb. Well, it's just a division. It's just no peace at all. We can't, people are just tore apart by this thing. And it's serious. The division that's there. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. And to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Excuse me. And I think that got choked up there just a little bit. You don't have that China flu, do you? Mercy. Mercy sakes. Where was we at there? China flu. Isaiah chapter 9. And the Bible says that that Jesus Christ was going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth. He's going to be in control of the government. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. And you thank God, when are you going to come? When's this going to happen? I'm ready for it. We have no peace in the land. In Psalms chapter 29 and verse 11, the Bible says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, the Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, it says, give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadows of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. John chapter 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, and by all means the Lord will be with you. I think God wants us to have peace. Amen. Even in this day, right. Even in this land today, as mixed up as things is, I think God still wants us to have peace. Yeah. And I tell you that there's a peace that comes only from him. You may be listening to me this evening and say, you know what, this all sounds good. And I know God wants peace in my life, but it seems like I've got nothing but turmoil everywhere we turn. You say, you know what? I just want to get rid of this turmoil in my life. I'd like to have a settling. I'd like to have peace in my home. I'd like to have rest. And it seems like everywhere I'm turning, I get nothing but trouble, turmoil. We already talked about our country a little bit. How this land in our nation, our government. Did you say, you know what? I want my children to grow up in a home, in a country, in a land that was the same great America that I've grown up in and known. You know, I remember whenever Adam and Sidney was over at the house on election day, and old little John, he's running around there. He's going to be a year old in December. He's a dandy. I like him pretty good. And I picked him up and I said, you know what? I said, Grandpa and Grandma and Mom and Daddy, we done went and voted today. Hope you're able to have the same opportunity one of these days. I hope this country's still holding true for you to grow up in the same type of America that I have. And it would be good for our children, grandchildren, to be able to have the opportunity to fail or succeed. Be able to be good to have them to be able to meet and worship God, our Creator and Savior, freely without oppression or persecution. And if a lot of them have their way, that's exactly what's going to happen, is we'd be not be able to meet here like we are tonight. You say, you know what? I'd just like to have a little bit of peace in my home. It's bad enough. I don't watch the world news. I don't watch the national news. I don't even turn on the news. I don't want to know nothing about it because it's just, I can't handle it. I've got enough problems of my own without listening to everybody else's. I said, I'd just like to have peace in my home. I'd like to have peace in my family, in my marriage. I'd like to be able to have a home that has love and joy, amen, kindness in our home. And so many homes tonight don't have that. Have so many homes that are not a safe place for people to be, for a spouse or for children or whatever it might be. And you say, no, all these verses that you read and what you're talking about, that sounds great, but how do I have this peace in my home? I need it real in my life. I'd like to have my children to be able to grow up in a home with both mom and dad loving one another. I'd like to have my children to be able to grow up with safety and security. Or maybe it's just the rest of my family that we just can't get along. Brothers and sisters, whatever it may be. There's just so much turmoil in this land today. You see, when I got married, it was for better or worse, and all it did was get worse. For richer and poorer, and we're broke as we can be. We married till death do us part, and I'm about ready to kill him. I just would like to have some peace in our home. You know, I've been to the place, and I know a lot of people have, where it just seems like the world is just, everything around you is just in turmoil. Everything's messed up. Seems like you've got problems coming at you from every direction. You just want to gather up what little bit you've got left. You want to grab up your kids or your family, and you just want to go off somewhere, hunker down, hide in a hole, get away from the rest of the world, get away from the devil, because he just, it seems like, just combating and beating on your family at all times, everywhere you turn. And you just want to take everything that you hold dear and get off somewhere where you can protect it and try to find a little bit of peace. It just seems like there is no peace. You say, I just need peace personally. My mind, my body, and my spirit. I've got financial problems or emotional issues, physical sickness and health problems. I'm facing death. You know, I just can't get no peace. We just wonder sometimes, where's God in our life? God, you give us your promises from your word. You said all this stuff about peace. You said that you would be there with us. You said you've given us your peace, but my life's in a mess. And how do I fix it? I want to go back to our text this evening. Jehu, as those riders came in and they asked a question, they said, is it peace? As he was coming with his company to Jezreel, to the city, those riders on horseback came into him. They said, is it peace? And he answered them back. He said, what have you got to do with peace? And then he said, get behind me. And then the second rider came in, same story. He said, is it peace? And he said, what have you to do with peace? Get behind me. I'm here to tell you tonight that everywhere we turn, God told us that this world is going to be a mess. There ain't going to be no peace in this world. We already read the verse that the peace that this world offers is not the peace that God offers. God gives us peace. But he told them to get behind me. Until you put God first in your life. Until you get behind God and let him take control of your life. You're not going to have no peace. You're never going to experience real peace in your home. You're never going to experience real peace in your personal life until you get behind God and let him lead the way. We're never going to have peace in our land, in our nation, until we turn to God and let him lead the way. The Bible says those verses that we read, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He said he wants to bless you with peace. He says that he has thoughts of peace towards you. The Bible says that he wants to guide your feet in a path of peace. The Bible says that he's given you the gift of peace in his Son, Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ in our life, we have no peace. I'm here to tell you tonight, without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got no hope. You've got no peace. There's nothing to compare to it. You got to have God first in your life. You might say to me tonight that, you know what, I'm saved. But I still don't have peace. I come to church. I still don't have peace. I try to raise my family right and we still don't have peace. I feel like I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, but there's just no peace in my life. What am I supposed to do? My question to you tonight, what hast thou to do with peace? What hast thou to do with Jesus? Have you put him first in your life? You know what, it's one thing, and I can tell you this because I've lived this. I understand what I'm talking about. I was saved at a young age. I was 5 years old when I got saved. Realized, knew what I was doing. I got saved. I knew I needed a Savior, and I asked Jesus Christ to come in my life, save me from my sin. As I grew up, young teenager, early 20s, whatever, I was saved and I knew I was saved. I had the assurance in my heart that I was saved. But I had not put Christ as the King over my life, in charge of my life. And I'm not telling you that I've got everything figured out. I still got some areas that I'm trying to struggle with turning loose of. God says, you know what, you need to give me that. Like, well, we'll work on that one. Okay. But as a teenager and growing up, you know what, I wanted to be in church. I wanted to live right. I wanted to do right. I wanted to please my parents. I wanted to live the Christian life, but I did not want God to be in charge of my life. I didn't want to put him first in my life. I had no peace. I had no peace. Because I wasn't getting behind Jesus and letting him lead my path. I wasn't taking his word to be real in my life. I wouldn't let God be the King of my life. So what have you to do with Jesus? What have you to do with peace? As Jehu said, you need to get behind Jesus. It's possible to have peace in a storm and to have God in charge of your life. But as I did as a young man, as a young fella, I wanted to be saved. I wanted to do right. But I didn't want him in charge of my life. Just wanted to go to heaven, but I wasn't interested in surrendering, letting God lead my life to serve Him, whatever He wanted me to do. And a lot of times that's why we end up not having peace, because we don't let God be in charge of our life. You say, you know what, I've got saved, but I just don't have peace in my life. Maybe you need to surrender your life to God tonight. It says it's possible to have peace in the storm, but God never promised the life as a Christian would be glorious. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ." I've seen some people that have had peace that I don't understand. I've seen sometimes that things that in my life, if had I be going through the same situation, I don't think that I could be taking it as well as what they have. But I've not experienced that. And I know that God gives you peace to handle whatever situation that you're dealing with, whatever it might be. Turn with me tonight, if you would, to Psalms chapter 107. Psalms chapter 107, verse number 23. Psalms 107, verse number 23. If you'll turn with me there, we're about to finish up this evening. The Bible talks about a storm here. In verse 23, it says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. And they mount up to the heaven, and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Amen. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness." Amen. "And for His wonderful works to the children of men." So we see here in this passage, sometimes God can bring a storm in your life, and He can make the storm to calm. We need to thank God for that storm. If you're here this evening and you say, "Why can't I have peace?" Well, maybe it's God's trying to bring you closer to Him. We need to thank God for that storm. Old saying that it's a blessed storm that drives you to your knees. What hast thou to do with peace tonight? You want to get behind God and put Him first in your life. As we read in the first part of the message, Joram and Ahaziah and Jezebel, all the house of Ahab, they didn't get any peace. When Joram came to Jehu, he said to him, the same as the men on the horseback, he said, "Is it peace?" He got a different answer. He said, "What peace?" And he says, "As long as your mother, Jezebel, there it is committing this evil." And I tell you tonight that we've got two options in our lives. We can either get behind Jesus Christ. Amen. And let Him give us peace, or we can refuse and we can continue on evil in our lives. If you don't have God in your life, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, What is peace? What peace will you have? None. There was no peace for them. Only judgment for the whole house of Ahab. Stand with me tonight. I want to close in prayer. If you need to do business with the Lord tonight, I'd ask you to come to the front. Come on up here to these old benches. If you got problems in your life, if you got something, an area of your life that you're needing peace, there's only one way to get it. That's to get behind Jesus Christ. Let Him give you peace. Put His promises. Put Him first in your life. That's the only peace we're going to get in this old world. You're not going to get it from the news media. You're not going to get it from the government. You're not going to get it from a stimulus check. It only comes from Jesus Christ. I pray tonight, if you need to do business with God, take care of that this evening. Lord, we just thank You for Your love for us. God, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, this old world, it just seems like we have turmoil and we have problems at every turn. We have problems in our homes. We have problems in our nation. God, we have problems in our personal lives. God, we need You. We need You, Lord, in this land. We need You in our nation. We need You in leadership. God, we need You in our churches. We need You in our homes, our families. I can't imagine, Lord, trying to raise a family or trying to have a marriage without You first in our lives. Seems like I mess up enough, plenty bad. But without Your truth, Lord, and Your guidance, how could we ever do anything but have a train wreck? God, I just ask that You'll use this message tonight that You've given me. Lord, I ask God that You'll help someone to be able to get some good out of it through my stammers and stumblings. Lord, I just thank You for using me, and I thank You for giving us the opportunity, Lord, to come into Your house again tonight. We thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.